Speak to us, O Lord, in the language we'll understand. For we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think this will not be a good question to ask. Perhaps I'll ask it, and then you can rephrase it in a way that suits. Do you know how to swim? Or how many of us know how to swim? How many of us have won medals? Anyone here? You know, I've tried. Karen, I'm not a good swimmer. Karen had, spoke about New Year resolution. And the other year I had told myself, Elijah, you have to go for it. And I tried. Just a few times, I think swimming gave up on me, or I gave up on swimming. I don't really know what happened, but it is still something I'm particularly interested in. I'm not giving up. Maybe someday. So many stories in human history involve water. It often involves crossing of water. Israel was enslaved in Egypt. And when the end of their bondage had come, the Red Sea blocked their way to freedom. God caused the water to part, and they walked through the dry land. And you remember what happened when they were faced with the Red Sea? They started murmuring, and they were saying to Moses, "You would have allowed us to remain in Egypt. Who said there were no cucumbers, there were no grapes in Egypt where we could be buried? Why would you bring us to this place? Why are you so wicked?" And Moses said to them, "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord, for the battle is not yours, but of the Lord." And after that, the Red Sea parted. Again, during their journey through the wilderness, they encountered River Jordan. And again, the water parted, and Israel passed through into the promised land. And just to take us back before this time, if you read in Genesis 2, you will see that Genesis, at the creation, the Bible says that the whole earth was filled with water. And it would have been scary and frightening to see that. But even in the midst of that scary state, where the world was all filled with water, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was moving through the water. And so God is never absent in those scary moments of our lives. When we pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isaiah voiced this promise to Israel while they were exiled in Babylon. Ancient Israel had to pass through some very difficult waters. The nation was falling apart before their very eyes. First, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians, and later it will be the turn of the southern kingdom, Judah, falling to the Babylonians. So the prospect of freedom was really grim for the people of God. Nevertheless, the Lord had a word for his people, a word of comfort and hope through his prophet Isaiah. But now this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not say to you, 'Ablaze.'" And each time I come across this word, it feels like shouting hallelujah and jumping and lifting hands. They are very powerful promises. Do not fear. And the one who is saying this is the Lord. He says, "Do not fear." And fear is self-destructive. Fear. Do not fear. "For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." There's that claim of ownership. On this first Sunday after Epiphany, we remember Jesus' baptism. It marks the beginning of his ministry. People were wondering if perhaps John was the Messiah they had long expected. John makes it clear that he was not the one, but that someone else greater than him is about to come. So John was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Jesus goes to John the Baptist, who baptizes him. As Jesus is coming out from the river, he sees the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and hears the voice of God, God's claim on him, saying, "You are my son, my beloved." Down through the centuries, and for believers today, baptism holds a special place in our faith. It is the primary way we outwardly demonstrate our inward commitment to God. Baptism is a tremendous gift. Within this sacrament is the promise that you have been claimed by God. That's the promise. Each time we do baptism, we are always professing this. We are now claimed by God. We belong to God. We belong to God. It is a promise for a lifetime. It is not a promise for a season. It is not a promise for a year. It is a seal of ownership. For most of us here today, we have received this tremendous promise when we were babies, held in arms and baptized. And I'll give you a moment to think if you can remember when you were baptized. Or maybe holding your babies, your children, or maybe being a godparent and standing out there for a baptism. Or maybe attending the baptism of your grandchildren. We likely don't remember our own baptism, the event, the day it took place, perhaps we're just little babies. But we have souvenirs for the day. Depending on when you were baptized, you might find a black and white photo saved somewhere in the drawer, and maybe a certificate signed by the minister affirming that the act actually took place. We might not remember our own baptism, but we have witnessed other baptisms. And every time we see one, it takes us back to the time in which we were baptized. The steadfast love of God never ceases. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. So Isaiah's word resonates with the promise of baptism. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." So through baptism, we have died in Christ. Our sins have been drowned in this water. And as Christ was raised from the dead, we have entered into his new life. Isaiah continues, "I have called you by name. You are mine." It's so gratifying to be called by name by our living God. Baptism is personal. So in baptism, each time we baptize, we always affirm the fact we are called as individuals. We are also called as a family. And each time we baptize, we name the person. I believe the day I was baptized, the minister of blessed memory who baptized me would have said, "Elijah Obinna, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, at that point, it does not mention my dad's name, my parents' name. It mentions my name. Elijah Obinna, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then hand is laid on me. God has called each of us by name. We now belong to God, and no power can take what God has claimed. It's as powerful as that. In the Bible, rivers and waters are not only physical bodies, but they also represent the things we face in life that can easily overwhelm us. So we go through the waters of failure, of loneliness, of disappointment, and regret. Others may be waters of depression and uncertainty. Others may be waters of poverty, impaired health, discrimination, physical or mental challenges, abuse of any sort. In life, there will be times when our faith is not as strong as it should be, times when sorrow and grief seem to take greater hold on us. Notice that God does not say, if you pass through the waters. But he says, but when you do. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. It does not say if. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I consider these very powerful promises to start the year. The Lord says, I will be with you. And I think we need this word as we journey into this year. I will be with you. I will hold you by my hands. You will not walk alone. We are at the beginning of a new year. It is a time for a fresh start, a time of new beginnings. It is exciting, but it can also be frightening. Frightening because we do not know what lies ahead. On the second of this year, I took the Thursday service, and I had spoken a lot about that. Yes, we want to know what is ahead. But I suppose life would be most boring if we were to know that. But it's exciting and perhaps adventurous that we do not know what lies ahead. But one thing is sure, that we know who knows what lies ahead. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And that is a great assurance. That is something I believe that can keep us going as we journey into this year. As we face new situations in the coming year, let us take with us the deep knowledge that we are not alone. The one who has fashioned us, who has created us, the one who calls us by name, the one who has redeemed us is ever near. And knowing this takes away fears and gives us a lasting hope. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. Amen.